I know that she is longing to see anything that she can report later to my father as evidence that this most beautiful queen is unfit for her position. By the sour expression on her face, I guess that she has found nothing. Nobody likes this queen. I should not admire her. It shouldn't matter to us that she smiles warmly at Isabel and me, that she rises from her great chair to come forward and clasp my mother's hands. We are all determined not to like her. My father had a good marriage planned for this king, a great match with a princess of France. My father worked at this, prepared the ground, drafted the marriage contract, persuaded people, who hate the French, that this would be a good thing for the country, would safeguard Calais, might even get Bordeaux back into our keeping. But then Edward, the new king, the heart-stoppingly handsome and glamorous new king, ah, darling Edward, like a younger brother to my father and a glorious uncle to us, said as simply as if he was ordering his dinner that he was married already and nothing could be done about it. Married already? Yes, and to her. He did very wrong to act without my father's advice. Everyone knows that. It is the first time he has done so in the long triumphant campaign that took the House of York from shame, when they had to beg the forgiveness of the sleeping king and the bad queen to victory and the throne of England. My father has been at Edward's side, advising and guiding him, dictating his every move. My father has always judged what is best for him. The king, even though he is a king now, is a young man who owes my father everything. He would not have his throne if it were not for my father taking up his cause, teaching him how to lead an army, fighting his battles for him. My father risked his own life, first for Edward's father, and then for Edward himself, and then, just when the sleeping king and the bad queen had run away, and Edward was crowned king, and everything should have been wonderful forever, he went off and secretly married her. She is to lead us into dinner, and the ladies arrange themselves carefully behind her. There is a set order, and it is extremely important that you make sure to be in the right place. I am very nearly 9 years old, quite old enough to understand this, and I have been taught the orders of precedence since I was a little girl in the schoolroom. Since she is to be crowned tomorrow, she goes first. From now on, she will always be first in England. She will walk in front of my mother for the rest of her life, and that's another thing that my mother doesn't much like. Next should come the king's mother, but she is not here. She has declared her absolute enmity to the beautiful Elizabeth Woodville and sworn that she will not witness the coronation of a commoner. Everyone knows of this rift in the royal family, and the king's sisters fall into line without the supervision of their mother. They look quite lost without the beautiful Duchess Cecily leading the way, and the king loses his confident smile for just a moment when he sees the space where his mother should be. I don't know how he dares to go against the Duchess. She is just as terrifying as my mother. She is my father's aunt, and nobody disobeys either of them. All I can think is that the king must be very much in love with the new queen to defy his mother. He must really, really love her. The queen's mother is here, though. No chance that she would miss such a moment of triumph. She steps into her place with her army of sons and daughters behind her, her handsome husband, Sir Richard Woodville, at her side. He is Baron Rivers, and everyone whispers the joke that the rivers are rising. Truly, there are an unbelievable number of them. Elizabeth is the oldest daughter, and behind her mother come the seven sisters and five brothers. I stare at the handsome young man, John Woodville, beside his new wife, looking like a boy escorting his grandmother. He has been bundled into marriage with the Dowager Duchess of Norfolk. My